God's will on today. I'm going to do exactly what he told me. He told me to bless, heal, and deliver his children. If you got pain in your body, you call me. Telephone number 1-800-399-7353. I feel like Jeremiah on this blessed day here in Alexandria, Louisiana. I feel like Fire Monroe. Shreveport is shot up way deep down in my bones. Thank you, Jesus. Call somebody you know need help. If your back has been up against the wall, I'm going to do God's will this year. I'm back home in the South. I'm back home to stay. Telephone number 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. I'm going to do God's will. I said, I'm going to do God's will. I don't care what you said, she said, he said, whatever they said. I'm going to do God's will. And those of you that need God to bless you, those of you that are having problems on your job, the devil trying to come between your husband, your wife, I send them back if they're taking them away from you. That telephone number you're calling right now, 1-800-399-7353. I want you to know that can't nobody in the world do it like Bishop Uriah and Jesus. Ain't no way, even if they try. 1-800-399-7353. My prayer line is open. Not before Thanksgiving. And my Christmas special blessing. I got it in the name of Jesus. I got it. 1-800-399-7353. For today and tomorrow. All you got to do is call me. 1-800-399-7353. I see the clock on the wall, so time for me to leave you. God bless you. God keep you, is my prayer. And I love you with the love of the good Lord.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of studying your word. We pray that you would meet us in the text, tailor the truth we're teaching so that everyone here, those who listen by way of media means, may hear in the spirit man what you are saying. And God, we pray that as you give us the understanding, give us power to practice these principles so you might receive all the glory. And we, your people, the good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, give him a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence. All right. I certainly am encouraged again to share with the believers some principles and to understand how God wants to operate in us
to get us on another level with him and another level as it relates to our spiritual walk and our maturity, our growth and our development. Because what's important about knowing the Word of God is understanding that God wants to give you the ability to duplicate in life what has already been done in Scripture. It's wonderful to hear about all of the wonderful miracles and all of the wonderful teachings and all of the wonderful demonstrations of God. And if they never ever materialize in our lives, it's just good reading. God wrote the Word, divinely inspired, and gave it to men, but it's His revealed mind so that we might learn from it, practice it, and then gain so that as representatives of Him in the earth realm, we can enact, make this come alive, what's written on the holy, or what's called the Holy Writ. These words on the pages are not just there, again, for the sake of being there, but being transformed from there to your life, to your experience, to your situation. And so I want to talk about operating beyond the obvious, operating beyond the obvious. Now, what's clear is, if I say to somebody here today, you know, God's been good, you say, amen, God's good, you holler all the time. Well, you're right. If you're here, you know that He's good all the time, and all the time He is good. But here is the point. All right. Even though He is good all the time, there are so many things beyond what we see in the natural and what we've experienced in this phase of our lives that God wants to show us that may not be very clear to us. And so that's why we talk about this and look at this. And I want us to see tonight, because after this message in this teaching tonight, there ought to be something you take away from this that can literally be put into practice in your life and begin seeing some changes. Because if you got enough word in you, and many of you already have enough in you, you ought to be able to enact it with your faith and see God do some different and unusual things. Let me talk about the fundamental functions of faith first. Because no matter what it is, the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is what? Sin. So everything you do, everything you say, everything you hope, everything you desire, etc., etc., ought to be connected with faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Everything without faith is impossible to please God. What I'm trying to get you to see is that if you don't see how God sees this this issue of faith and apply it to every arena of your life, you're going to miss God in some places and areas that only faith can take you into and bring out of it what God wants you to have. So understand this. I want you to write this down because I want you to get a better understanding. We know Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. But that doesn't really explain to us how to operate in this and what's necessary to get what's in the Holy Writ into the life we live. And I want to share some of these fundamental functions tonight. One, it's information, knowledge, the Word of God. Because God is only under warrant to back up His Word. So if you use any other information, if you use any other word, God doesn't have to back that up. But if it comes from His Word, He's under obligation to back up His Word. Second fundamental function is revelation. What is revelation but revealed understanding? The Holy Spirit reveals that to you, gives you a rhema word, gives you an understanding of how things ought to be done. So you have a revelation as a fundamental function of faith. Thirdly, you have to have application. Now, some of us may have information and some of us may have revelation, but we miss God many times because we don't have application. That's where you apply it. You know it, but how many of us would be honest? You don't have to raise your hands to say that a lot of things we know, but we don't do. So application is our part. It's applying principles. It's personal participation. And then fourthly is expectation. Now, you would almost think that expectation comes natural, but not so. That's why even in the giving experience, when I tell people, when you give and you lay it as the Spirit leads you to give, He's not asking you to give to get from you. He's giving you the opportunity to get stuff back to you. And that's the way you do it. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you what? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, if that's so, you've got information, you've got revelation that the way I receive is by releasing, giving, letting go. I also understand that I've got to do that application in order for me to have expectation. In other words, I've got to do my part. Now that I know the Word of God says, here's the revelation, that if I give, sow, release, I have a right to expect a harvest. Okay? So when I have a right to expect a harvest, if I give a dollar and it's led by the Spirit of the Lord, and I've done that as He's led me to do so, that $1, even if it were returned 30-fold, would be $30, 60, 100. I don't care how you slice it, that's a good return. Now, if I've got God's word on that, I ought to be looking when I sow for what God has said shall come. So after I apply the principle, then expectation should automatically kick in. But so many of us do the first three and don't expect the fourth, and guess what? It may come back, but it may not come back in the timing that you could have gotten it back, because God's got to back up His word. But listen to this, He doesn't have to schedule your harvest so soon, because you're not expecting it. So He's got to give it back to you, but it may be years later. It may be in a time when you don't even need it. It may be at a time where you don't even see it coming back, because you're not in that place of need. So you've got to understand, expectation is the end result of the fundamental functions of faith. And so once I do what I'm supposed to do, expectation ought to kick and say, God, I've done my part. I'm waiting on you. I've done what you've said to do. I've done what you've asked me to do. I've done what you commanded me to do. Now I'm expecting you to do what you say do. Do it, Lord. And you need to hold God to it. God says, put me in remembrance of my word. You know what He's saying? Expect me to do what I said I'm gonna do. And that's what the people of God many times have missed God in their blessings, because we think it's holier than thou and it's wonderful and it's this false modesty not to expect God to do it. I just did it out the goodness of my heart. Well, thank you. Because the truth of the matter is, you still fall short of God's glory when you don't get the harvest, because without the harvest, you can't really give Him the glory that He deserves for doing what He said He was going to do. So you're still missing it by not getting the return on what God told you to look for that's coming. It's almost like saying, well, God, if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. It's all good. All right? Now listen to this. Observing beyond the obvious is important, because what you're going to find out is that the things that you ought to be observing are not always obvious. Listen to me again. The things that you ought to be observing are not always obvious. Well, what are you talking about? There are opponents, people who are against you, spiritual powers, entities that are against you, that may not be as obvious as the physical, natural folk who you know may be against you. You gotta realize you're made of dust and divinity, so you see the people in the flesh, but do you see the spirits? Do you really see those opponent spirits that are against you? Do you see the opposition that they present as opponents? If they are opponents, then they bring opposition with them. It's a part of the makeup. Thirdly, there may be obstructions. These are things you don't see, but here's what you need to know. Many things God has promised to you, He's already released to you. He's let go from the spiritual standpoint. The dispensational place has already been marked. God's done His part, but you hadn't received yours. Satan is the prince of this air. He can be obstructing what God has already released. How many times have you ever gone to one of those snack machines, whatever, put your money in, made your selection, it dropped from its place, but it got hung up somewhere before it. Anybody ever experienced that? Now, it left its place where you made your selection, but between leaving that place and getting to the drawer where you pick it up, it got hung up. Now, if you like me, I'm gonna just gently nudge it. Give me my crackers. I'm just not gonna walk away and say, oh, well, it just got hung up. I just lost my, no. I'm gonna shake it. I'm gonna do what I can do to make sure that it comes all the way through. So whatever obstructions, what you're gonna note is that when you won't allow them to remain as obstructions, but do something about it, then you'll find out that it don't take much to make it let your stuff go. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord, I wish I were teaching to somebody who understood me. So I want you to see something else, because what's not always obvious is the fact that the word tells you to be sober, be vigilant for Satan, the adversary, the devil. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour. But if you're on guard, you know he's up to something. So you keep yourself prepared. You've got your full armor on. You are waiting for the attack, the sneak attack, because when you realize the devil doesn't fight fair, when you least expect it, that's many times when he shows up. When you're at your weakest point, that's the time he hits you and keeps hitting you, because he don't really want a worthy opponent. And so you got to be on God. That's a part of what God's word tells us to be. Because if you're on God, then you'll be able to see opportunities that are not always obvious. You see, one of the things you got to recognize is God has already promised that he wouldn't put more on you than you can bear. That's his word. But here's what you don't realize, that when God, Job shares this with us, when God allows something to come your way, allows you to deal with hurt, harm, issues, et cetera, trials, tribulations, et cetera, he's already measured your strength against what the devil is trying to do to you. If what the devil is trying to do to you is greater than you can handle, God will not permit it. Now you got to know the word. So if you're dealing with some stuff you don't think you can deal with, you need to think again. Because God knows you can deal with it. And listen at this, it may be the worst thing you've ever dealt with, because what God knows is now, again, this is developing you, defining you, refining you. So it's called strength training. So he knows it's time for you to go to the next level. That means more weight. If it's more weight, it's going to produce more muscle. Now, here's what you've got to understand. Somewhere in the midst of all of that, God wants you to see there is an opportunity there for you to turn your burden into a blessing. Yes. To understand, God, what is it that you want me to learn from this lesson? What is it that you want me to gain from this gruesome experience I've had? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And many times your blessings are cloaked in certain distresses and or troubles. If you're looking at it and see, God didn't bring you all this way for nothing. God didn't allow you to go through the valley of the shadow of death for nothing. And so when you realize this, recognize this, you're going to realize that God wants you to do this and know this so that you can overcome everything. We overcome everything that comes our way, even our faith, according to the word of God, that the enemy deals and throws at us in this earth realm, because we are overcomers. And it's not always obvious how God uses situations to make us overcomers, but the end result is we overcome. And so that's why we've got to understand that the things that God wants you to know are not always in the natural view, but if you attune your spiritual sight to see beyond what you're looking at and understand that there's far more there than what meets the eye, then you'll see opportunities and chances for advancement that God has for his people. Now, here are some laws that govern both the seen and the unseen realm. There are three basic laws, and I want to share them with you, because I'm giving you these principles and I'm hoping and praying you're writing these down so that you can go back and refer to them and understand that no matter what arena you're dealing with, these laws work. They are what comes from the word of God to help us understand and operate in what God has called us to operate in. Here's the basic principles. One is the principles of laws. Two, purposes. Three, patterns. Now, what's interesting about this is whether you're talking about the spirit realm or the secular realm, the natural realm or the supernatural realm, whether you're talking about satanic or whether you're talking about spiritual, these three basic laws governs both arenas, seen and unseen. Both of them work on principles, laws. They function and flow and operate according to laws. Purposes. Both Satan and God has a purpose for everything that they're doing. Patterns. God shows us, this is the way I do it. That's the reason why I want you to learn it, because I do it the way I say it, I do it, and that's the only way I do it, according to the pattern of my own word. I want you to understand it. John 10:10, very familiar verse, tells us that the devil comes not but for to do what? Three things. Steal, kill, destroy. Now, this is a law. This is a law. It's a principle. He shows up, and when he shows up, I ought to know from the principle, from the law, that the devil is coming to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. If it's a principle, then I also know from this principle what his purpose is, because it's not going to change. So if I know it's his purpose, hear this and hear this well. I ought not be fooled by him, because he's not going to change his mind. When he shows up, he's still coming to do what? What makes me think today, well, today he ain't going to steal, kill, or destroy. He just won't have a little fellowship with me today. No, that's the purpose for him coming. Every time, not sometime. It is a law. But you're also going to note that it's a pattern. It's a pattern. When he shows up, it's going to happen that way every time, because that is the way of his operation. Yeah. Now, just like we use that in the negative, look at what Jesus says. I come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Well, now, we also understand the principle of his word. When he comes, he's here. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He said, I come to seek and to save that which were lost. He has come to serve. He has come to save. He has come to do those things that support life for us, and that more abundantly, which means an ever-increasing, ever-growing, ever-expanding reality that God wants to see in our lives. So knowing that, we've got the principles, we've got the purposes, and we've got the patterns of the Lord. That's why people of God's got to understand, God always wants you to be in an ever-expanding mode, ever-increasing mode, ever-growing mode. Anything that is not growing is stagnated. If it's stagnated, it does not have a part with the pattern of God. Something is out of tune with the will, the word, and the way of God. Now, when God speaks, it is so. Let's get to some scriptures right quick. Isaiah 55:11. Now, this is no unfamiliar word, but I want you to see this, because one of the things that Isaiah reveals to us in this word is how God uses the power of his word. Look at Isaiah 55:11, and look at what it says. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me what? Void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Listen to this. And it shall prosper. It shall prosper. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, God gives us a pattern of operating beyond the obvious. And I want you to see how he speaks authoritatively and arbitrarily and absolutely. And that's another thing about faith. When you begin to speak those things, you've got to speak them authoritatively. God don't make suggestions. God don't say, well, I suggest you do such and such. He says, do this. If God, when Jesus was, look, he wasn't taking applications for those who wanted to follow him. He walked up and he said, follow me. He looked over there, follow me. And just go through that. Well, Lord, I want to follow you. No, 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 no. You've got to learn when you're dealing with spiritual and faith issues, you've got to be able to speak authoritatively and arbitrarily and absolutely where there is no doubt. If there's any wavering, if there's any doubt, God is not under warrant to back up your request, your desire, or your word. You've got to understand it so clearly that when you say a thing, that you've already seen it underneath the skin in the spirit realm, and all you're doing is just releasing what you've already seen play out in your own spiritual mind. So when you speak it, you're going to be just like God. You're going to have every knowledge of that thing coming to pass just as you have spoken it. I want to again show you the pattern of the Lord in the Word of God so you'll understand that. But before we move, let me just finish here with Isaiah 55 and 11. Now, I want you to see again how God sees his own word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. You ought to get to that place where when you speak a thing, you ought to say like God, it's not coming back void. I don't speak idle words. I don't have to threat. It's a promise. It's going to happen. I said it, and I believe everything I'm saying according to the word of God, because that's where I get my ability to speak authoritatively from, and I speak it absolutely because God is an absolute God with absolute authority. There is no challenger, there is no conqueror who can change what he has said. So when I speak that way, I'm speaking as of the oracles of God. I'm saying it and knowing because God has already said it, I'm just saying it in a lighter voice or in a smaller voice, but with the same power. So listen at this, because when he says it, and he means it, and he means it. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish, listen at this, that which I, it's not about what you think and what you feel. He said, which I please. I'm speaking, I'm calling it into existence. It's, if it don't please you, sorry. I spoke it so it could please who? Me, he says. And then notice what he goes on to say, and this is important. He says, and it shall prosper. Look at all of the certainties and how positive God speaks. Never with a doubt, never with a maybe, never with an issue, always authoritatively. He says, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, let me show you something else. When God speaks, nothing remains the same. That's one of the reasons why when God says in his word, he's not a man that he should lie. Do you know why he can't lie? I'm glad you asked. He cannot lie because whatever he speaks comes to pass. Yeah, yeah. Did you hear what I said? It can be raining. If God says the sun is shining right now, guess what? The sun's going to shine. Now listen at this. He don't have to stop it from raining. How many of you seen the sun shine with the rain coming down? That's how powerful he is. He can do whatever he chooses to do that pleases him. Now, understanding that, I want you to also see something else here. Genesis 1, verse 3 and 4. Let's just look at a very simple order that God gave in the beginning. You know it, but I want you to see it in Scripture afresh. Look at God showing us a pattern again. First chapter of Genesis, book of beginnings, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light. Now, this is important. God said it, and then after he said it, he saw it. My question to you was, when was the last time you said something and you saw it? See, that's the pattern you need to follow. God said, go back to verse 3 again, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. How many of you know when you say something and see it, you're going to say that's good? That's a principle of faith. That's operating in faith. Man, when you say something and then you see it come to pass, that starts getting better and better underneath your skin, and you start speaking more and more authoritatively, more positively. You start speaking those things that be not as though they